On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, Renner Story, Hank's Gangs, We're Not One Percenters, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Coffee Naps, Stranger Things, It Missed the Earth, and JFK Files.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
So you say we've been on every 2 week schedule, huh?
I think so. I think we've been skipping a week.
Well, I would say we're slackers, but we're just busy.
We've been too damn busy. Sometimes it's crazy this month.
It's always crazy.
I know. That's gonna be. It's really felt like we try to record on Sunday or Monday, and it seems like Sundays and Mondays have been just way more than normal lately.
I like the every 2 week thing, actually. I think it gives us more ammunition to talk about.
Okay.
I try to keep a bit of a journal of just things that happen, and sometimes there's just not a lot going on. You know, there's slow news days on every TV, and do you just, I don't know, do you put out a podcast of,
I don't know, maybe that's where creativity comes in. Maybe that's where when you're forced to look for things, like things in our everyday lives, maybe that's where the real creative crank is going. That's how I'm trying to say that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't mind either way, but
man, I just argued devil's advocate big as hell right there, didn't I?
Against me?
Yeah, just a little bit. Sorry. For what? Like, I just took the other side of that, like, every 2 weeks or every week argument way fast.
Hmm. Well, however you want to take it. I don't mind. Okay. Every 2 weeks fine with me. I think it gives us some material. And like I said, sometimes there's just a slow news day.
Yeah.
And if you're the news, you know, it makes you think about these news things, these daily shows. Oh, man, they've got a whole
24 hours. That's how they end up with this news entertainment commentary crap.
Well, even people like The Tonight Show and some of those guys, Jimmy Fallon, I mean, they've got to come up with shit every single night.
That's nuts.
It is, right? Mm-hmm. At some point, goodness sakes.
Yeah, at some point, don't they all have, like, substance abuse problems and stuff, you know?
They
all have skeletons falling out of their closets, like, some of them quietly, some of them are banging open, you know, drugs and alcohol and problems just functioning because they're under the gun to be creative.
Well, yeah, and if something happens exciting, I mean, it doesn't mean to say we can't do it more often, but I don't know. For right now, this every 2 weeks seems to be a pretty good sweet spot. Seem to have enough crazy stuff happen in our lives. There's always a story with our crazy renters or something going on.
Yeah.
And then
speaking of, you were greatly relieved this week, weren't you,
I've got all kinds of renter stories will never get old. We could do a whole podcast just called Renter Stories. That could be the name of a podcast for sure.
Yeah.
This week, we have had a squatter in one of our apartments for about a month or two.
Yeah, month and a half, I think.
Probably about a month and a half. Basically, we rent an apartment,
We took a chance on a guy. We knew it was a long shot.
He was an alcoholic. We knew he was a functional alcoholic, but he had a job at a car dealership, and it's our B level apartments, not our A level. So we thought, well, you know, let's give this dude a chance.
Yeah.
We pulled for him.
Yeah, we did.
We tried to help him.
He tried. I mean, he was a decent renter.
Until he lost his job.
3 or 4 months.
Yeah. Once he lost his job at that car dealership, good Lord.
Then it was just tailspin, wasn't it?
I went over there one time to do some plumbing stuff because his apartment is above another business. And there was a leak in the business below them ceiling, and it was coming from his apartment. So I had to get in there with plumbers. I go in there with my plumber, Tony, and we go in. It's 10 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
There's like 6 adult guys in there just sitting around like almost Indian style because there's no furniture. They don't have furniture.
Yeah. At least they're indoors.
That's basically it. Yeah. They have one cooler. They're all sitting around drinking beer, smoking pot. Again, 10 o'clock, 10, 10:30 on a Tuesday afternoon like it's a fraternity party, and they're the first ones there.
Wow.
Just smoking, drinking, like it's their job.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just went in, fixed the stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is no good. We've got to get this guy the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and this is in a building that houses other apartments and a business. Like
right.
You can't have that kind of smoke wafting around all over the place. You just,
no,
you can't.
No. So a few weeks later, I start the eviction process right then because he hadn't paid that month's rent. And when I saw that going on, I'm like, well, I want him out.
Yeah.
I got to start this today.
Yeah.
So I went to our lawyer, started the eviction process. And basically, you have to give them 14 days. You have to give a notice and say you got 14 days to make this right. Then at the end of the 14 days, then you can go to court and file something that basically says, all right, well, now you didn't comply with this. You have 30 days to get out.
Yeah.
That's how the process works in our state of Kentucky.
Yeah.
So I did that. In the meantime, I have to go back over there for another plumbing problem because the plumber didn't fix it right the first time or something.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, it happens. That kind of a zoo with grown adults. It's kind of a weird situation. I think I would probably be.
So we go back at like 5 o'clock, maybe the next Wednesday, 5 o'clock in the evening. I go in, I knock on the door, knock loudly. Nobody's there or nobody answers. So I'm like, well, nobody's here. So, you know, maybe he left. Maybe our little alcoholic,
just
abandoned it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well. I open the door. There's a dude sitting in there on the one piece of kind of furniture they have, a real shitty chair.
Uh-huh.
And he's a kind of a husky dude with a beard. And his eyes look like doll eyes. I mean, as black as coal, dilated. He is so high, stoned on God knows what.
Yeah.
Oxycontin, meth, God knows what he's on. He can barely speak.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there literally thinking like, we are about to get fucking murdered here. Me and Tony here are about to get fucking murdered.
Well, if he can barely move, he probably can't murder you.
Well,
too fast.
But he just looked
scary.
Yeah, frankly, he just looked scary with those black doll eyes, and I guess like I keep saying, he's kind of a husky dude, and he just looked mean as fuck. Frankly.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, well, here we go. But whatever, we were there, and he was halfway. Oh, okay, you need. So I'm like, where's Greg? Where's the guy who actually rents this place? And he's in some detox somewhere. He's not here right now. And then I start because I've got Tony with me. You know, I don't try to be too smart because I don't want to get murdered.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I'm like, well, who are you?
Yeah.
Why are you living here? Who are you? I answered a Craigslist ad, and Greg just been letting me live here and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, well, there's no way we're going to get anywhere here. So I'm like, well, we're just here to fix another plumbing issue. So we're going to fix this, and then we'll be out of here. So that builds the mystery. We fix this thing. Leave again. So I'm like, well, now what? Now I got one skinny alcoholic that's moved out, and apparently
he's gone.
Apparently this scary dude is now living here, who God knows who he is, where he came from.
no clue.
So fast forward another week. So I'm thinking, well, how am I gonna get this dude out of here? And I'm like, the one guy we're going through an eviction process. Him, I've got a court order now saying, you got to get out in 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to post that on his door.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now you got to leave. You got 30 days to get out. But I know that other guy's living there. So I'm like, so I call my attorney. I call my police friend. Like, what the hell do I do here? He's like, well, you evict this dude. You evict the skinny alcoholic. And then this other dude, you call the police and just say he's trespassing and get him out because he's not on the lease or anything like that.
Okay, that's at least a way through this.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. So I got to go over there, and we're doing some more repairs on the roof. It's just that little building's turn to get some attention. I go over there with my crew of people. I've got a loaded 38 with me because I don't know.
You just don't know.
I don't know. I don't have it like just obvious, but I've got it just in case this scary fuck tries to shoot somebody or something. You just never know.
Yeah.
Hate to be that way, but it's just facts. So, and this is a whole nother little story here since we're getting into this. A little crew I'm taking over there, ironically, are drug rehab people.
Yeah.
We're renting an apartment to people who are trying to get clean. And I love that.
Yeah.
Right.
And
like we're all for helping people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And these guys were looking for, you know, work kind of.
Yeah. It's a program. It's a church based program. And we're not super religious people. You know that from the show.
Yeah.
But I will say this. If you can substitute religion for meth, then I'm all right with that.
Yeah, yeah.
If I have to pick one or the other.
Choose one ailment.
Because that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
If you go to this specific church, they have a little niche, and God knows in our area it's needed.
It's needed.
If you're a bad addict, you go to this church, they will enroll you in this program. They will bus you to another state to live and go through this 9-month program where it's basically, you know, indoctrinating, you're trading Jesus for your meth.
Yeah.
Is exactly what you're doing.
Heroin or Oxy or whatever. Your hard drug. I think there are alcoholics there too. But, I mean, just.
So that church has an apartment here. And the people who are in rehab here, they're from other places. They're from Michigan, Pennsylvania. I mean, they're from all over the place.
Yeah, because I guess one of the first things they have to do is get them away from their drug crowd.
Which is smart.
Yeah.
Well, the main guy that's the director of this apartment / rehab facility, and by the way, they don't prescribe methadone, Suboxone. They don't do detox. So you have to detox and do all that stuff, and then you go there.
Yeah.
Well, I like that, too.
Yeah.
So you can leave when you want to. Yeah, they have about a 50% success rate, which is phenomenal. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but normally on traditional.
Isn't it like 7 or 8 times in rehab before most people?
Yeah, and I've heard in general it's about 6 or 7% of people who do some sort of rehab successfully.
Unbelievable.
But like they stay clean like 5 years or something, like 5-year studies out. It's like 6-7%.
Can you imagine the hold on your life?
93% of these people are going to be hooked for life and doing it for life.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And dying early. And it's just bad.
Dude here in Hazard, Kentucky, we don't have a lot of ethnic groups in our area. So when you get somebody that's from a different place.
Yeah. What Hank is trying to say is that we live in the armpit of Appalachia.
It's as white as a bowl of rice.
It is really, really, really pale.
We have no diversity.
No.
So the director of this thing, from what I understand from the church and different people, he basically was a badass gang member of some sort.
Uh-huh.
He looks like Machete. He's a Mexican dude that looks like he would chop your damn arm off and beat you over the head with it.
Till you die.
Yes. But he's the sweetest, nicest dude. You talk to him. He would kill somebody for me. I truly believe.
He's a sweetheart. He really is.
Because we've rented this apartment to him. We've given him like a job because we're trying to help these people.
Yep.
So the other people in this little group, there's an older, just flat out alcoholic dude in his 50s. There's a young black guy that looks like he lifts weights 5 days a week, and he probably hasn't touched a weight in years or maybe ever.
Oh.
He's just genetically strong dude. And another guy, just a young white dude.
Yeah, young white guy. That is usually our drug doer, our druggies in this area is young white guy.
So I bring this little crew of people to this apartment area to do some work. And while they're there, and I got my gun, I got my loaded 38.
Yeah.
I've got Machete there. I've got my black guy who looks like he could whip some ass. Like between all of us.
Like, I've got a crew.
Yes. I have a game. Yes. It's the Yates game. Finally, I got my own gang. So we're going over there. I knock on the door. Nothing. So I know the routine. I'm like, well, I'll guarantee that fucker's in there.
Yeah.
So I open the door slowly.
Yeah. Don't get shot. Don't get shot.
Yell inside. Nothing. No, nobody in there. So I'm relieved. I'm like, well, maybe he's gone. Daggone. Finally, maybe he just left.
Yeah.
So I start talking to Machete. And he says, oh, well, you know, well, this apartment, you know, I think we just had a new guy. And I think he came from this apartment. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, there's a guy, and his name's whatever, Dean. He's like, I think Dean came from here, and he just enrolled in our program. And I'm like, really? Scary, doll eyes, look like he's going to axe murder you, dude? His name's Dean, really? And he's in your group now. He's like, yeah, he's on his way over. I'm like, well, here we go. This ought to be fun.
Uh-huh.
Dean comes over. He doesn't even recognize me that we've ever talked. And
wow.
He's like smiling. I find out he's an ex-Army dude that served in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Nicest guy ever. And so this guy, Mr. Doll Eyes, axe murderer, ends up being one of the nicest people, and he sits there with his crew, and they clean out that whole apartment. He cleans out the apartment I was worried about him axe murdering me in. They spent the whole day.
Yeah.
And it looked like a trash heap.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm sure.
Rolled cigarettes everywhere. It was just an absolute pile of dump. And he helped clean it out. So I went from, from thinking I'm getting axe murdered to meeting Mr. Axe Murderer and him enrolling in a rehab program and helping clean the place out.
That's fantastic. It really is. That's good.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the only other thing was I got to give a compliment from Machete, too.
Oh, what happened? You got to tell the story.
Well, while Dean was there cleaning, one of their other drug buddies comes up to go party because, you know, their drug buddies don't know that what's happened here.
Yeah.
Drug buddy starts talking to Dean. And I can see what's going on. I can see drug buddy is, oh, yeah, you know, not living here anymore. Okay, well, yeah. And, you know, and he's talking and he's just BSing. We've talked about this before. All you have to do to get somebody to start talking bullshit to you is do some work. In a public place, start working.
Yeah.
Sweeping, painting, whatever. And random idiots will just come up to you and start talking.
Yep.
Well, that's what Drughead Buddy's doing. Drughead Buddy is just randomly talking to Dean for no apparent reason while Dean is trying to obviously clean out this apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
With Machete and
the positive peer pressure is all around him.
Yeah.
He's got negative peer pressure right there. Let's go party, but he's...
So I listen to this. I see Machete getting ready to say something, do something. I see Mr. T. I'm just going to call black dude Mr. T. I see Mr. T. He's muscular like him in Rocky.
Wow. Okay.
Minus the mohawk.
Yeah.
So I see Mr. T kind of perking up too. So I just go over to Drug Buddy and I'm like, listen, I was in here when you were one of the seven idiots in here drinking and smoking with Dean. I said, you were doing this with somebody who is a complete alcoholic in a downward spiral. I said, and if you drink with somebody who's an alcoholic, who's in a bad place, I said, that just makes you an evil person. I said, so right now you need to leave and don't ever come back. And that's just where I left it. Basically, he said something like, well, I don't know. I'm like, no, I do know. And you're going to leave right now. It was something. He said something a little snide. But again,
of course, you've got a safe face. I've just been called an evil asshole.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. But he turns around and sees Machete behind me.
Yeah.
And Mr. T. And he just leaves, basically.
Yeah.
So after he leaves, then Machete, to me, he's like, man, you're a badass motherfucker. That's pretty cool, man. I'm glad you did that. I'm like, wow, really?
Really?
Mr. Gang member from the Crips. Really? Thanks, man. That's awesome. Like, that was the best. I was on Cloud Nine the whole day.
Yeah, you were. You were like, you were hilarious. I love you so much.
It was awesome. So that is some of the old adventures in my rental life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get axe murdered.
I'm happy to hear that.
Well, I'll tell you some other stuff we talked about this week.
All right.
You got into this one. Do you remember the number you have to be a one percenter?
Yeah. Yeah. It's 10 million and something.
10,374,000.
To be a one percenter. Really thought it was going to be 30 to 40 million. I really
thought it
would
be about three or four.
No. It's swayed by like $1 billion salaries, I'm sure. So.
But yeah, that was interesting. We had
that was interesting.
Well, to be a 90, we figured there's a website we found to do this.
It took a while because it's hard to find this information.
It is. If your net, this is net worth, by the way.
Yeah.
If your net worth is $2,377,000 and a little extra, you're a 95%er.
Which is well, still very...
You're a 5%er.
Yeah.
You're a 5%er at $2.3 million.
Yeah.
To be a 1%er, you've got to be $10.3 million.
Yeah.
Net.
Yeah.
You know, most people, honestly, are a negative net worth.
I don't know. I think looking at that website, like, it was...
Most people don't have a paid-off house.
Well...
If your house is paid off, then you might be. But if you owe anything on your house, that is debt. And that
it
goes
is,
against.
It is. But according to that website, only about 20% of the U.S. population has a negative net worth. But there's a lot of people, think about this, there's probably a lot of people who are renting. So yeah, they don't have a mortgage. So there's a lot of people that fall in.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you have an apartment, then you wouldn't have debt for a house. So yeah, that would be easy. You can have a net there, but owning a house, eventually, yeah, you go in the hole for a while, but then once you own that house, you've got something, when it's totally paid off,
yes,
you know, you've got something worth, say, $150,000. Meow. Or podcat. Hi, Chairman Meow.
She just slinkied right into my lap, didn't she?
She sure did. So that's what you got to do to be a one percenter.
Yeah.
And we're not a one percenter. You thought we were?
I thought we were. I thought we were not. And then I was horrified. I was like, no.
You didn't want to be.
It was making me ill. It was making me ill.
See, that's like, that's how this whole thing started. You know, we've done well. We're doing well. And
you still see it as a challenge. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be like that.
I have to say, I do. It's a video game. And now I've figured out I didn't have the high score I thought I had. Yeah. I hate to say it like that. It sounds so smug. I swear, I don't want to come across that way. But, I mean, that's just the way life is.
Well...
And we do, and we're going to do a lot.
I've got to defend you a little bit on that because the way you sound there is like a really smug asshole, but you're not. There's enough for everybody. There's enough to suit everybody's needs, not everybody's wants. And we're doing good on a local level, and we do use local people. We use local labor, local companies when we can support somebody like our folks in the drug rehab apartment. We're going to, absolutely.
Well, you know, I think the reason we are doing well as far as that goes, I mean, is straight up talking about net worth and things. I think because we are very good at giving back, and the whole. You can call it hippie trippy bullshit if you want to, but you put out what you know, you get back what you put out type situation. Mm-hmm. We give a ton to charity. We work with all kinds of people.
We do. We try. We do we try unique. Hard.
Right. We do unique leases and land stuff, and were active in all kinds of civic groups and volunteer stuff. You know, we do a lot in our community. And I think that, again, it comes around.
Yeah.
It just does. We end up making a lot of money, but we end up spending a lot of money, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a meeting this week talking to a fella. Yeah, and looking at the numbers, it looks like if you just look at how much is coming in, you're like, oh, my God. And then you look at the how much is going out, and you're like, well, what are they eating?
Exactly. Like, no wonder they like soup, beans, and cornbread every damn night. It's all they can afford.
But we knew it was going to be this way this year. We did. And we've had to, especially this month, it's been funny. We've had to continually remind ourselves that we knew it was going to be
right.
A special year.
It sure has. That being said, I gotta say, I thought we'd be a one percenter. And I knew you didn't want to be.
No.
I didn't even want it more. Like, I thought for sure when we looked it up, our net worth, we'd be a one percenter, but we're not, damn it.
Treasure's gonna be like, I'm gonna spend that money. I'm gonna like go to Goodwill or I'm like, no. 1%.
You know, and I'll say this too to defend ourselves. I don't know. You know, it seems like a dirty word to
it
say.
It is a dirty word
to say that you're successful in life financially. It's almost like I keep wanting to defend it.
Well,
it's just,
all right.
I mean, I started.
Right, how often though have you talked about your idol Warren Buffett and like. You've talked about this in the past too. How much is enough? Like what? Like there used to be like a crazy upper tax bracket, something like over $10 million a year or something like that.
Right.
Was like a crazy steep tax bracket, and I'm for something like that. Like because people in our tax bracket are small town business owners or small business owners at least. You know we're.
Well,
pumping that money
absolutely.
Back into a smaller community. If you get much more than, I mean, if we had much more coming in, we would be like on just a higher level. Maybe less of it would be local and going back into the economy.
I plan on, and you're right, Warren Buffett is my idol as far as a lot of that stuff goes. And I plan on doing exactly, and I think you're on the same page, what he's doing and his philosophy. Once he dies, all of it is going to the Gates Foundation, the Buffett Gates Foundation that is set up to help people for generations of charity work. And it's not going to his, he's not leaving that to his kids, any of that.
Yeah.
I mean, he may leave them all a couple of $1 million or something. But
grandkids all get college education.
Yeah, something like that. And I might do something like that. You know, maybe we don't have kids, one.
Yeah.
But I plan on when we die, leaving it all, 99% of it.
Yeah.
To charity stuff.
Yeah. Well, we've already made steps to work on toward, you know, on a trust like that.
Right. We're working on setting up a trust.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or an endowment specifically, an endowment to,
it felt so weird. It felt so one percenter weird going to talk about stuff like that. It did.
Well, I'm glad we're able to do that because we're going to, like I said, well, that way I can say this with a clear conscience. I don't mind accumulating wealth because I know in the end it's going to go for something good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to go for something good while we're here too. I don't mean none right now, but
Like I'm the one that does all of our books in QuickBooks and everything. And literally, we haven't had a, quote, profit this year because it has all been repairs and splitting electricity in buildings that were wired together completely for years and years. And it's like upgrades and things that were necessary.
Right.
It's just been crazy. And I hopefully we aren't always going to be like that. Hopefully there's going to come a point where it'll be smooth sailing and we can.
It will. And, you know, and our net worth
really
comes from.
Choose to donate somewhere.
Right. Our net worth didn't come from the income this year. It comes from what we already own. the buildings and the things that we own outright. That's where our net worth comes from. But anyway, we're going to use it for good along the way, some, but definitely when we die, it's going to go into an endowment. And again, I feel like I almost have to defend myself for being financially in a good place. But you know, I started with nothing. I can absolutely, anybody who wants to, you know, get all, you know, well, you're a rich asshole type situation, I'll take you to where I grew up.
Yeah.
I promise you the little holler I grew up with my family, just, you know, middle income at best, middle class.
Mm-hmm.
I started with nothing.
And same. Yeah.
So, you know, nobody's going to hold that over. Oh, your dad gave you all this money. You're just an asshole 1%, or you're just a rich asshole. No, I started the same. Whoever's telling me that, I almost guarantee you that they started with more than I did, with more chances of everything. So screw them.
Okay. Okay.
Screw this imaginary person I'm arguing with.
Yes. Yes. Screw that. And you know what? There have been some people like that, I think, for us. But eventually, we need to just move past, you know, who cares what they think. And, for us, though, like, eventually, you've won the game.
Oh, yeah.
And I really do feel like, at this point, just being able to work for ourselves and support ourselves and not really worry about the roof over our head or the wheels that we drive or what. I mean, you know, we have enough, we can get it fixed. And to me, that is winning. Like, to me, I won the game of life.
I agree. As far as that goes, we have won.
Okay.
If we wanted to sell everything, we could have a paid off building and a pile of money in the bank and never have to do anything. But who wants to do that? What are you going to do, sit around and read all day? How many times can you go on vacation? How many times can you go fishing?
Yeah.
You know, I like doing business. That's the whole reason I'm doing it.
Yep. And, like, in the process, we are renovating and doing improvements to downtown. And I'm passionate about that.
Absolutely.
I think both are, so.
How would I have ever met Machete and Mr. T if we didn't do things like this? It's phenomenal.
It is.
Little Debbie raisin cream pies.
That thanks lead in.
Tell them.
Is that just a memory for all of us that were raised in the 80s and 90s?
The Little Debbie raisin cream pies.
Raisin cream pies. And no, has anyone ever eaten the raisins on those?
Aren't those the most worthless? That's the most worthless expense that a company has.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody that doesn't pick them off.
I don't think there's been a few on them now. There's like three or four on each one now.
No, there was a lot.
Oh, have you ever gotten one accidentally?
Ah, it's disgusting.
Ugh. Yeah.
Who would eat those? Who eats these things?
There's somebody listening going, I'm going to feed them and I love the raisins.
It's called a raisin cream cake, asshole. What are you getting it if you don't like the raisins? Well, screw you. I like this cream cake part.
Hank scraped the raisins off and had not oatmeal, cream cakes this weekend.
They're delicious.
And he had to announce it. He's like, I know this is junk, but I'm eating it this weekend. I'm cheating.
It's like $1.50 for a whole box of them. Can you imagine the chemical bullshit that's in there? It must be half styrofoam.
You know, all right, my brother Josh he would get a whole box of fudge rounds at a time. You have to understand, he was like,
fudge rounds.
Oh, Lord. He was, you know, a high school athlete, so he was always buzzing around, dribbling a basketball, and just energy everywhere. And he's a growing teenage boy, and he would eat like two boxes at one time.
Oh, I would do that in high school for sure.
And he would ball them all up. He would open them all up and make this huge ball of fudge round dough.
Oh, no, that I wouldn't do. That's disgusting.
And then just, like, bite into it. Like,
good Lord.
He would come up with creative ways to be gross and gross me out. So
that is some next level shit.
That is. That is. But he had a sister, so that's what you do.
I guess. You're going to tell me about coffee naps.
Oh, all right. Hang on.
I've been drinking coffee lately. I think I'm slowly into it. It doesn't taste great, but it doesn't taste awful anymore. I used to just think it was just awful. But, oh well.
With enough stuff in it, it's drinkable, and I drank a little bit tonight because I knew I'd need a little energy for this. So yeah. Maybe I'll sleep. I don't know. All right. What is a coffee nap?
A coffee nap. First of all, it sounds, what's the word, oxymoron? Coffee shouldn't make you nap.
Well, listen to how you do it. Nap is when you drink a caffeinated beverage and fall asleep for 20 minutes or so, which is about as long as it takes for the caffeine to fully kick in.
So you drink it and immediately take a nap?
Yeah. You drink your cup or shot of espresso or black tea or any other caffeinated beverage,
okay.
Set an alarm for 20 minutes, and down it all quickly, and then you're supposed to get a great big energy boost from it. And people who do this in the morning, like when they first get up, like have been able to kind of start transitioning themselves into being morning people.
I don't believe it. Are you going to try it?
No.
Well, come on.
I no longer care about being a morning person.
Have you just given up?
I have.
You just growl and grunt, a little honey badger. Like a little honey badger in bed with me is what it is.
It is. I'm sorry, but I'm not a morning person.
Oh, well, poor Petra. More like poor me. It's poor Hank.
You know what? I've been getting up with you lately, so...
You haven't been growling too bad lately.
No, uh-uh. I don't think
so. A coffee nap, you drink some caffeine, you immediately fall asleep. Any idea? Well, yeah, but who falls asleep instantly? Like, I can already see so many holes in
this. Wow, you just really want to shoot the holes in it, don't you?
I don't see how it's possible.
Well, okay. Well, evidently.
It takes 20 minutes for the stuff to kick in. All right, so you've got about a five-minute window to fall asleep.
Scientists overwhelmingly agree that a coffee nap is more effective at restoring cognitive function and combating fatigue than either drinking coffee or taking a nap alone.
Hmm. Well, okay. Maybe next time I'll try that with my nap.
All right. See if you could, like, shorten your nap because you're all about taking a nap.
I like my 4 o'clock old man nap.
You do. You do.
There's got to be something to it. There's a reason every... culture in the world has evolved around the 4 o'clock nap, except us. We power through it.
We do the,
you know, coffee. South America, they do what, siesta? That's 4 o'clock nap, right? Everybody takes a little siesta.
I don't know.
In England, it's 4 o'clock tea time, so you get some caffeine to power you through that 4 o'clock time. And in our country, we just power through it. We basically drink caffeine about that time. I bet there's more Red Bulls and energy drinks.
5 hour energy.
I bet you at 4 o'clock, I guarantee there's a spike in that because it's just physiology. It's part of our. I want to say circadian rhythm, but whatever it is, it's part of our biology rhythm for sure.
Well, I can't make coherent sentences before 11 o'clock most days. I'm a grunner. But then, like, from 11 to like 7 or 8, that's always been, like, ooh, when I get a ton of stuff done.
When you get it all done.
Yep.
Tell me the best age for your sex life.
This is an article from Reader's Digest.
There's still a Reader's Digest. Remember those?
Yeah.
They were everywhere.
Yeah.
Their stock must be plummeted to nothing.
I know, but then there's always these Reader's Digest articles online. I wonder if people just subscribe that way.
Maybe.
But yeah, you're right.
We had a subscription for sure, and I think all my relatives did.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody kept it in the bathroom.
Everybody in the bathroom, yes. Yep. Everybody had to poop while they were reading Reader's Digest.
Exactly.
And there was a little square. It's an odd-shaped, odd size, too.
Yeah,
that was their
thick,
little niche, wasn't
small.
It?
Small, yeah. Yeah, and they were real quick articles.
Enough for a good poop?
Yeah, pretty much.
Good poop length, article size.
Oh, I'm laughing about this. All right. From Reader's Digest.
From Reader's Digest, because everybody knows they are the specialist in sex research. Okay.
They put an online platform called Happify put on this question. When do people have the best sex of their lives?
Okay.
All right. According to people in their 50s and 60s, the best sex of their lives happens in their 40s, specifically at the age 46.
Look at that. I'm 48, just turned. Close enough.
Close enough. Well, I'm about to turn 45, so.
Ah, you better get on it. Yep. Better ride that honey badger. Literally.
There you go, man.
That did sound really dirty.
It did. It really did.
I didn't mean it literally, but then it kind of it does sound awful. Oh, well. No sex like honey badger sex.
Okay. You can't fix crazy, but you can have great sex with it.
Is that from an article, or are you
no,
that's saying just, random memes?
That's just something that a friend of mine has texted me before. So,
okay, makes sense.
All right.
So the age is about 46, what
about
they say?
46, yes.
Well, I can see in 40s, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. 30s, 40s.
Yep. The Roundup also found that older couples that have regular sex are happier than those who do it less often.
Well, I would think so.
Yeah.
It's a, right.
And
it's a, what do you call it? I want to say like a symbiotic relationship, but it's not that. But if you're having, you know, if you're having.
If you're happy, you're having sex. If you're having sex, you're probably happy.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Yeah.
That circle of life.
And they found that couples that fool around once a week are the happiest on average.
That's probably about right. Once or twice a week is probably average. Yeah. For most people, I would say.
And
I don't know.
The ordinary American has sex just two or three times a month. Whoa.
Hmm.
Including both married couples and single people. I think we're well above average.
You probably are.
Yeah, yes.
You know, you just got to, whatever. You just got to find.
What matches your needs.
Exactly. Whether it's, right. Whoever, right. As long as you match up your partner's needs and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad we're in that category.
Me too.
We just finished watching a pretty good show on Netflix.
Yeah, last
night. I'm sure
we've
everybody
been
in the world has already talked about this, but we're going to talk about it
weekend.
Too. What did we watch? What did we finish watching?
We watched Stranger Things 2. Wasn't it good?
We finished watching it all.
Yeah.
What was it? What's the brothers? The Duffer. Duffer Brothers.
Duffer Brothers, yes. They're young fellows. They have a...
They are young, rich fellows now.
Yeah, they are.
Because they have hit on something.
Yeah.
And it's not even that they hit on it. It's just they brought it back. They were the first... They brought things back from the 80s.
Yeah.
Every plot in this whole thing, and it's okay, because it's a good trip back. But this is, we've said, how many times have we said this? A million times between us. It's Goonies, E.T., and what was the other one you were saying?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which is kind of 70s.
Yeah, but. There was another one you were saying. Well, anyway, I think it's Goonies, E.T., doggone it, there was another one you were saying.
Stand By Me?
Stand By Me, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, Stand By Me, Goonies, and... Damn it. What was the other one? That was the other one. And E.T. Yeah. Can't get my three 80s movies straight. Yeah, it's those three combined.
Sorry, Hank. That was funny.
It's all recycled plots. Let's face it.
But so much is at this point.
Oh, I know.
I'm not sure that there are that many.
I know. It's hard to be.
Creative new plots available.
Sure.
They're all the same story elements.
Of course.
I mean, hell. Like, let's go back and read some Greek plays.
Yeah, no, right.
They're recycling those. It's just, there's only so much human drama available.
But they've tapped into this 80s. It's set in the 80s. It's straight up set in the 80s.
Yes.
So they can do things like go to the arcade. And everybody our age, like, oh, I remember arcades. I remember playing Big Doug. I remember. And you see all this. And it's just nostalgic.
That's well, and to think about, like, I think most people our age have, like, families now. And just... I just picture a lot of them, like, people our age are definitely drawn to Stranger Things. It's very popular. And I think that we introduce it to a younger generation and start explaining things almost like, remember your dad watching, what is it, Mayberry, Andy Griffith?
Right.
And going, well, now we had it like, you know, it's not that we were crazy about Andy Griffith. We were crazy about hearing our parents talk about how things were when they were young. And I think that the 80s nostalgia is kind of carrying over with a younger generation too. Plus it's just a very good, cute show. Well done.
Yeah. I don't know if I assume it's younger generation likes it too. Yeah. Everybody on Twitter seems to just love it.
They
I know
just love it. They seem to be eating it up.
Yeah. So there's some about, I don't know. We said it before and I know everybody wants to think their own Kool-Aid's the best, but
it was a funny time.
I don't know. It seems like people really like the 80s. I mean, as far as, I don't know, it seems to be just as fun in pop culture now as it ever was.
Yeah.
Music and shows like this, and I don't know.
Well, this was really, really well done. 80s nostalgia.
Yeah.
Just a fun mystery kids, to try to solve.
Kids on an adventure. It's the whole, like we just said, it's all those movies combined. That's it. That's fun. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, we saw that, and we went and saw It by Stephen King this weekend, too.
Oh, well, let me do one more thing on this before we leave Stranger Things, too.
Oh.
This is an observation. But in the 80s movies, they loved a good police pileup, didn't they? There's a million movies from the 80s where police car pileups. There's a police chase and like 10 police cars end up in a big crash. Like Smokey and the Bandit, the Blues Brothers. There's a scene in Stranger Things 2. There's all kinds of them. They just loved that. They loved it. There were TV shows on it. Remember BJ and the Bear? All those dumb shows.
No, I don't remember that.
There were all kinds of shows about police chasing somebody.
Well, that was the Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard. Yes, now you're talking. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They love it.
Okay.
So that's in Stranger Things, too. I'm telling you, they just picked up on little nuances like that from the 80s, which is fine, and throw them in there. Mm-hmm. As soon as that happened in Stranger Things 2, I'm like, hey, these guys really have gone back and really watched. They are 80s buffs, whether they're young kids or not. Somebody really...
I think they probably were just a tad bit younger than us. They're younger than us. They're in their early 40s, I would guess.
Well, they did a great job with it. Okay, now, what are you saying? Said something else. Next topic.
Okay. Up to you.
No, you said something. And then I said, wait a minute. I want to go back to Stranger Things 2 for a second. No?
Uh-huh.
Have you lost it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine. There is something has flown by the earth. And I just screwed it up. There it is. I like it when mysteries... like real scientific mysteries happen. And apparently, like I said, when did this happen? This happened not long ago, been in the last few weeks. All right, basically something about 500 feet in diameter, approximately, has flown super close to the earth in as far as, you know, astrological distance, and they really honestly don't know what it is. They thought maybe a comet, maybe an asteroid, but it circled the sun, and it was too close to the sun till it should have burned up with the sun. And it came in from a trajectory that's different than our planets and what's in our solar system. So basically, it basically came from deep space or something, and they don't really know what it was. Wouldn't that be freaky if it was some kind of a damn alien probe or something that just circled around and...
Like, what kind of readings did they take from it?
You know, not much. It says originally thought to be a comet, should have burned up from the intense. Let's see, here's the whole thing. This object was originally spotted by astronomers in Hawaii using this super crazy telescope.
Yeah,
it was careening. It's going through space, 16 miles a second, swooped around the sun, past the Earth at a distance of approximately 15 million miles, then headed straight back out into space. It was, if you couldn't already tell, an incredibly unusual event. And I was reading that from this article, which is by Mike Weiner.
Cool.
Yeah, in Yahoo Science. And then it goes on a little bit. It's a very short article, but it says regardless.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it says regardless of what it is, it says an incredibly rare event that astronomers are rushing to learn more about.
No kidding, because that... I mean, you heard nothing about it. That could be one of those
things.
It's our planet, and just like, boom, we're gone.
Right. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
That is really. It says, whatever it is, scientists are certain it was not from our solar system. The object's trajectory would have made absolutely no sense for something that is orbiting the sun. And the angle which it approached actually points to having come from a well-known constellation. Unfortunately, the length of time it would take to get here muddies the water a bit in terms of predicting its origin. So there you go. They're studying it. It came.
Well, now they're watching where it goes. That's interesting.
Yeah, you'd think. But
golly,
that's just one of those things, and it's 500 feet. So I don't know if that would be like a, you know, planet extinction type thing. But
I don't know if it didn't melt up in the.
Yeah, if the sun didn't burn it
out. Yeah, what the hell is it made out of? I mean, if it was depleted uranium or... I mean, because those crazy heavy elements that occur naturally, they are made in, like, black holes and crazy cosmic events like that. That's where they come from. That would be a hell of a way to get a whole bunch on Earth real fast.
Well, you know, that's a good point, though, about, you know, if it didn't burn up going around... Getting too close to the sun, then yeah. If it had direct hit on the Earth, hell, our atmosphere wouldn't have burned it up.
Nope.
Like normal, you know, it would with an asteroid or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucker would have just hit the Earth full force.
Thunk. That's what's scary about it.
Might have split the Earth in two. Damn.
Never mind.
Splitting Earth in two?
What was that goofy Saturday morning cartoon where like something hit the moon and split it in two? Was that He-Man?
Gosh, I don't know. That'd be awesome.
There's something of that I just vaguely remember.
Gosh, something like this. Maybe it could. What if something could split the damn moon in two?
I don't know.
You know what's really thinking?
It would be big to do that.
Well, you know they think that's where the moon come from, right? You know that's the. Basically,
something split the Earth in two.
Yeah, basically, something hit the Earth so hard and violently that basically, yeah, a big chunk of the Earth separated and became the moon.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's why they think that's why basically when they check out moon dust, it's basically the same stuff as Earth dust. In a way. Kind of makes sense.
That's interesting. That is interesting.
God, that must have been a hell of a day. You imagine that shit?
In order for the Earth and the Moon to be round as they are, that pretty much had to happen early on in the formation of the solar system.
So. I don't know. We're just billions of years of spinning around like a top in space. I don't know. Something flew past the Earth. I think it's kind of cool, especially with today's Halloween and Stranger Things.
Yeah, we've been binging on... Spooky Ookies.
Yep. And I will leave us with one last, to me, spooky yuki, but you don't seem to care a thing about it.
Oh.
These JFK files, I'm telling you, I just think there is some bullshit in there. I can't believe after 54 fucking years, 54 years of classified stuff that they classified, they said, okay, this is so top secret, this is so earth-shattering that we need 50 years, we need a generation or two to die before we can let people read this to where they won't freak out.
Burn down the government.
Burn down the government, kill somebody, revolt, or just plain just can't take it, I guess. I don't know. But now, after 54 years, they're releasing, let's say, 90% of it, and there's 10% that they're still saying, nah, we don't think people can really handle this.
See, I'm not really reading that into it.
Because now, and they're supposedly they're editing it, and in the next 8 weeks or so, they're supposed to release the other 10%. That's going to be marked up, edited. They're shredding shit right now.
All right. When this happened, I'm sure that they investigated probably everybody, you know, in that immediate area of the motorcade, families. And the Kennedys were a very powerful family with a lot of political aspirations. I'm sure there were skeletons in the closet. You know, I just imagine there's a lot of that that's being edited for the public, just marked out. So, because
you trust your government way more than I do. Which is fine. I'm not arguing with you, but
I just don't think there's anything.
We've read things like that, like those false flag stories. Remember that Operation Northwoods that we looked up? That's an absolute. I don't know why they declassified that. Frankly, that's the most incriminating.
People are like horribly unaware of stuff like that.
No, I guess. Well, if you guys want to see one of a real life conspiracy theory, and it's not a theory, it's a real life conspiracy fact. Just look up Operation Northwoods and look at those declassified documents of what happened in the late 60s. Just as a real quick thing, I can tell you, in a nutshell, it was a secret plan by our U.S. government, CIA, to hijack planes, to blow up buildings in the United States, by the way, hijack planes, crash planes, blow up buildings and blow up some of our ships or have people attack our ships and pretend like all that was caused by Cuba was the one causing this
so
fake
that we
event
could, yeah,
to give us an excuse to invade Cuba and kill Castro. And that plan, which is outlined clearly, and by the way, doesn't that sound familiar, blowing up buildings and crashing planes in the United States and then blaming it on somebody else? Anyhow, that plan made it through all the Joint Chiefs of Staff, all the military people, and the last damn person it went to was President Kennedy, who vetoed it and said, no, I'm not signing this bullshit.
Yeah.
One signature away from that happening, and that would have happened, and we would have been convinced in our minds, oh, yeah, that damn evil Castro, can you believe he blew up that building in Miami, and I'm glad we got him, and people would know nothing. It would be...
Unfortunately.
It would be historical fact that Castro was responsible for that, and that's why we invaded Cuba.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so that's your government doing that. So when it comes to these JFK documents, no, I do not believe it's just.
I don't think there's that much of it that is at this point.
God, I hope you're right.
Unless they killed a bunch of people to keep them quiet. You just can't keep people quiet.
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously his brother was killed also.
Yeah.
By somebody. I mean, again, I'm sure there's an actual person.
Yeah.
But that was when he was a candidate running for for president.
Yeah.
In the primary.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got Bobby Kennedy killed and John JFK. Kennedy killed. Yeah. And it was just a, my goodness. I don't know. I'm just curious.
I don't know.
I'm a history buff.
I want to wait about 15 more years and like have a good history experience. Kind of like.
Have you seen any documentaries or, I mean, factual stuff, not movies, but I mean, have you seen a well done documentary on or read any books on the JFK assassination?
No. I think I've seen.
Maybe a
short documentary, something like 30 minutes.
Well, I won't go into the whole obvious thing. I mean, there's hours of this stuff. But just, it was obvious from the facts put together that they absolutely wanted to be sure that they blamed that on one person.
Yeah.
That Oswald. His name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Lee Harvey Oswald. Yeah. They wanted to blame one person when clearly, without a shadow of a doubt, the evidence points to absolutely at least two, probably three.
Wow.
I mean, for example, again, won't go into the whole thing. You can watch documentaries
on
it.
Yeah, but, we might be doing that tonight.
Well, and the only reason that they even had to come up with some of this crazy stuff is because one guy was shooting film from an old handheld camera.
Uh-huh.
God knows how rare that was back in the day.
Yeah.
But that guy shooting that film shot the film of them of the shooting of Kennedy.
Yeah.
Frame by frame, he's very close to it. So you can see in each frame who's being shot where, what's happening. And to make it all work for how many bullets they found and shell casings and where everybody, because he was riding a car with another dude who also was shot multiple times. To make that work, that's what they call this magic bullet theory.
Yeah.
It's some crazy thing like one of the bullets had to have went through the guy in front, sitting in the front seat.
Uh-huh.
The bullet had to go through his neck, then like weirdly change trajectory to the left and go through Kennedy's wrist and then go through his wrist and then somehow end up in the floor on the right. I'm making that up, sort of. Uh-huh. But the point is, it's an impossible
shot.
And then they show you the bullet, and it's a bullet that's pristine, like has never been clearly hit against anything.
Yeah.
And that was supposedly the bullet that went through one person's neck, another person's arm, and then ended up in his thigh. That's it. It's like, you know, bang, zigzagging left and right.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then they show you this perfect bullet. That's the bullet that did that. It's insane. When you see some of the documentaries, it's insane.
Okay, I'd be interested in watching it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm dying to know what's in these stupid files. And
yeah,
now,
Hank's been really freaking out about this week.
Well, because
you are.
I am a little bit. At what point, and again, and you are extremely, I get it, you think it's a Trump distraction, but.
No, I think, when
I hear that, like I said, this our president puts out a, and we know he tweets like crazy. He puts out a tweet a few weeks ago saying that basically, we're going to release all those documents, and I have no intention of not releasing them.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like he gets a, and then somebody, and this is what really scares me, somebody high enough to shake that motherfucker into doing. Changing his mind. I feel like he got a phone call. Like, listen, you jackass.
I feel like he got a phone call, and it's in at you know 9 o'clock in the morning, and they say, "Listen, we really need to clean this up a little bit more. You know, why don't you just You know, just wait here. And he turned around and went, thank God. This is going to distract from so much God, of this going on.
I hope that's so bad what it
is. I really think that's what it is.
Because I'm afraid the other side of it is, you know, when he says something, they get off the phone, or he gets off the phone. And according to the reports I read, it was the director of the CIA and the FBI.
Yeah.
Excuse me, who put out a memo saying, no, hold on there, cowboy. No. We're not releasing all of them. There's at least 10% of these documents that we're not releasing right now. And he turns around like, okay, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to.
But, you know, he's going to talk about it, and it becomes just nutso.
You know, it's like that. I think I've heard somebody say this, so I don't know who I'm giving credit to, but I really honestly, my conspiracy theory stuff can almost believe this. Like, when you're the newly elected president, like, after all the inauguration parties and it settles down, like, maybe 2 days later, the head of the CIA and the FBI, maybe the military joint chiefs of staff or somebody, they sit you down in this room and they just hit play on some video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a view of the Kennedy assassination from 10 different views that you've never seen in your life. And they just play that. And then it hits stop. And they just say, all right, you got any questions, jackass? Because you don't run shit. This is how it's going to go, or you're going to end up like that guy on that tape. And I really, truly believe in some way that happens. Not to the end as dramatic as I'm saying it,
uh-huh.
But I do believe at some point somebody sets these people down and lets them know what the real shit is. And he better not rock the damn boat too bad, or bad shit's going to happen to you.
How do you begin to explain what's going on right now, though?
Or do you think it's just, there is no shadowy, it's just, it is what
it
is.
I had hopes that there was actually some greater intelligence driving things, but now I believe it is just this inefficient machine.
Well, and maybe.
Law codes.
That probably makes sense. I mean, this whole shadowy thing I'm talking about, and, you know, the little story that I just told about sitting and watching a film, you know, that's silly. Of course, it's not like that exactly. But okay. I do think there's probably some people in charge that are, you know, who knows who the head of CIA is, but I bet that dude's pretty powerful, don't you?
Yeah.
Or the director of the FBI or whoever. I mean, there's some pretty powerful people there that are not readily known to the public. Well, who knows?
Wasn't that the very first thing that the administration did was fire the head of the FBI, Comey? That was exactly the first thing that was done.
Yeah. What about groups like this Bilderberg group? Like this, you know, this group that meets of the most, you know, influential people in the world, and they have like a 2-week meeting in Europe every so often. There are some organizations that are incredibly, basically secretive, that wield a ton of power. The Bilderberg Group is a perfect example. Those are dignitaries and billionaires and people. You know, I think there's more to running the country than just our government.
Conspiracy theory.
So we'll see. So I don't know. So yeah, these JFK files. Yes, it aggravates me that they're not being released yet. And maybe never will. We may never know what the government knows about that.
Well,
maybe that's the problem. They just don't know. They're afraid to say that we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
That
forensic science was not exactly.
I think that's the best scenario, is that they're embarrassed that they don't know.
That's a possibility. Or they may be keeping some details that they found out about people alive and dead.
Who knows? They may for 100% know.
Being dirty laundry.
Yeah. They may 100% know that it was the Russian government. Or who knows what they know.
Yeah.
Who knows? And maybe in those files or maybe not. Oh, well. Petra, we've had a lot of topics tonight.
Yeah.
What do you think?
All right, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you in a week or two.